It's time to pull up a chair and open your Bible for today's Bible study segment of Naomi's Table. Gather around and let's begin.
Well, welcome back to the table, ladies. And if you have your Bibles, you can open them up to the Gospel of Mark. We are once again in chapter 9, and Connie Stample is here. She's our teacher today. Connie, what will we be learning about today?
Well, we are going to learn more about Jesus and what it means to follow him. We are continuing on in Mark chapter 9, and this is going to be a portion which is Mark 9:14 through 29. And just a reminder, yesterday or the last time we met together and we talked, we had just studied the account of the transfiguration of Jesus. And so we've had this moment, a glimpse of his glory, and we found out that the disciples accompanying him, Peter, James, and John, don't quite understand it, and they're still trying to process it. And then we find as soon as they come down from the mountain, something else is going on. So I'm going to read this account, and then we're going to talk through what it means and what we can gain from it. So verse 14 starts, "And when they came to the disciples, they saw a great crowd around them and scribes arguing with them. And immediately all the crowd, when they saw him, were greatly amazed and ran up to him and greeted him. And he asked them, 'What are you arguing about with them?' And someone from the crowd answered him, 'Teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a spirit that makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able.' And he answered them, 'O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me.' And they brought the boy to him. And when the spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy, and he fell on the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked his father, 'How long has this been happening to him?' And he said, 'From childhood. And it has often cast him into the fire and into water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us.' And Jesus said to him, 'If you can, all things are possible for one who believes.' Immediately the father of the child cried out and said, 'I believe, help my unbelief.' And when Jesus saw that a crowd come running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, 'You mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again.' And after crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out, and the boy was like a corpse, so that most of them said, 'He's dead.' But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had entered the house, his disciples asked him privately, 'Why could we not cast it out?' And he said to them, 'This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer.'" Well, we find in this account that right after that glimpse of the glory of Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, that he's now back into the world, and it's a world of sin, and it's a world where people are oppressed by demons, and religious leaders are opposed to the truth of God, and disciples are slow to learn and lacking faith, and in a sense, powerless, unable to do things. And so we're going to kind of walk through this and consider it from various angles, from the perspective of the disciples, especially from the perspective of the crowd and the father and this boy who's demon possessed. And then a little bit, we'll also talk about demons and also the scribes and all. But we're going to take it verse by verse. And so here in 14, it says, "And when they came to the disciples, they saw a great crowd around them and scribes arguing with them." And so we get the sense as soon as Jesus comes off the mountain, there's a big commotion going on. And we have the other nine disciples there and a crowd surrounding them. And then we find that we have scribes arguing with the disciples. And we know from what we've already learned in Mark that generally when the religious leaders come to see Jesus, it's not for because they want to learn anything from him or because they desire to grow in faith. It's because they have a conflict. And so here the disciples are arguing with these scribes and obviously probably not doing too well. And then we find, it says, immediately all the crowd, when they saw him, when they saw Jesus, were greatly amazed, and they ran up to him and greeted him. And that greatly amazed can also be translated in other sections of Mark as alarmed. And so they're really surprised, or it just takes them by surprise to see him. And so as soon as Jesus comes, he's the focus of their attention because they know he's the one who is able to do things, and he's the one who teaches. So the crowd comes up to him. And so then Jesus asks them, what are you arguing about with them? And really, I think his question is to the disciples, what are you talking about with the scribes? What's the conflict about? And then verse 17 tells us, and someone from the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a spirit that makes him mute." And so we find that there's a father in the crowd who specifically was looking for Jesus. He calls him teacher, so he has faith in him as someone who can teach things about God. And he also has heard that Jesus can heal because he brought his son who has a need. And then he goes on and he gives more background about what's going on. He says, and whenever it seizes him, this spirit, it throws him down and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able. So we find out that the demon that is possessing this little boy, this young man, does things that manifest themselves that would look like an epileptic seizure, which is something the demon could definitely do, but that doesn't mean that all epilepsy is caused by demons. This is how this spirit is making this child behave, and also it's causing him to be mute, which is definitely a serious disability and very difficult for the family. And then we find out that because Jesus wasn't there, the father had brought him to the disciples, Jesus' representatives, the ones who already had cast out demons and healed people when they'd been sent out by Jesus. And we find out that they were not able to cast out this demon. Then we have Jesus' answer, and he says, and he answered them, "O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me." And so Jesus is really talking to his disciples and all of the people there. And we've heard him talk about this generation before, and he's really referring to the Old Testament, talking about the crooked, perverse, twisted generation that does not trust God. And so we get a sense here that Jesus is a little bit exacerbated or disappointed in his disciples because they are really acting in a way that the faithless children of Israel did in the wilderness and other places throughout the Old Testament. And so their lack of ability to cast out this demon really demonstrates a lack of faith. So then Jesus goes on in verse 20 and says, and they brought the boy to him. And when the spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy, and he fell on the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. And so we find out from here that this boy has had this difficulty, this demon possession, for a long time. And then verse 22, the father expands on it and tells us more about how difficult this has been. It says, and it has often cast him into the fire and into water to destroy him. And here again, we see the intent of Satan, the intent of demons, and that is to destroy human life. God created man in his own image, and he desires people to glorify him, but Satan desires the opposite, and so he wants to destroy and kill. And then the father adds on to his statement. He says, but if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. We find here that the father is coming to Jesus. He's come to the disciples. He's been disappointed because the disciples were not able to do anything. And then now it seems like he has a bit of doubt about whether or not Jesus can do anything, because he says, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said to him, if you can, all things are possible for the one who believes. And so Jesus is really saying, you need to trust God. And truly, we know Jesus can heal this boy. But the father needs to exercise that faith and look to God and Jesus as really the Messiah, the Son of God, to do that. Verse 24, we find, immediately the father of the child cried out and said, I believe, help my unbelief. And what a great prayer. What a great response. He's got a little bit of faith. He's come to Jesus. He's already brought his son. He's in a desperate situation. He's got a bit of faith, and he's praying, he's asking Jesus to help him with the unbelief and add on to that faith. And I think we can learn much from this father just from how he's saying it. In verse 25, we find Jesus' response. It says, and when Jesus saw that a crowd came running together, meaning I think that it was starting to get even more attention and more people coming around, it says, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, you mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. So Jesus has power over the spirit. He gives two commands. One is, come out of the boy. And the second is, never enter him again. And so this spirit is forbidden from ever harassing this child and his family again. Verse 26 says, and after crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out, and the boy was like a corpse. so that most of them said, "He is dead." Verse 27, "But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose." Those same words remind us of when he healed the daughter of Jairus and lifted her up. She was resurrected from physical death. This boy really, in a sense, is being resurrected from the power of Satan. He's given spiritual life, a new life, a life of the way he was meant to be, rather than being oppressed and harassed and controlled by this demon who was doing terrible things. And he obviously, I'm sure, had scars and injuries related to what the demon had been doing to him. And then verse 28 goes on, and we find out the disciples finally, in a private moment, have a chance to ask Jesus about what's been going on. And 28 says, "And when he'd entered the house, his disciples asked him privately, 'Why could we not cast it out?' And he said to them, 'This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer.'" And what we're finding here, perhaps, is that the disciples, those nine who were remaining and were unable to cast out the demon, had maybe been depending on their past success of when they'd gone out before and healed and cast out demons. And this one situation may have been more difficult, or perhaps in some sense this demon was stronger. Don't know that for sure, but they were not able on their own power, without Jesus being there with them, without his direct mandate, to cast out this demon. And it speaks really to the fact that each and every one of us as a disciple on our own power is not able to do anything. Jesus told his disciples in John 15:5, he said, "I'm the vine, you're the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." And I think that's part of what this account in Mark is telling us, that the disciples on their own are without power. And without their trust and faith in God the Father, they're not going to be able to accomplish anything either. And that's why Jesus emphasizes prayer. Because how do we get to know God? We know him by coming to his word and listening and learning. And we also come to know him more by spending time with him. Because prayer is actually kind of a two-way thing, where we say things to God, but also the Holy Spirit brings things to mind and we learn of God and all. Probably the other aspect of this is just that idea of dependence, because we as followers of Jesus are not able to do anything on our own. It's only in the power of the Holy Spirit are we to be like our teacher and to do what he does. Probably some other things to consider as we look at this passage. Again, we notice that the scribes are opposing Jesus and arguing with the disciples. We see again the intent of demons and Satan is to destroy people. And then really part of the question is, as Jesus asked the Father, is, you know, is there anything that's too hard for God? Do we believe that God's power is limited? Is there something God cannot do? And then ultimately the question is, how is it that we grow in faith? What is our part of coming to grow and know God more and be more faithful, not to be faithless as Jesus was accusing his followers? It's a sobering passage, I think, for those of us who perhaps have failed like the disciples did, but it's also good because we know Jesus is able.
He is able indeed. Connie, thank you so much for this lesson. And ladies, you can find today's notes and this 10-minute podcast over at our website, naomistable.com. Nancy and I will be back in just a moment to talk more about this.